Chapter 10. The Meeting with Anna. Anna's back was turned to me. She was looking out over the mountains. "So you found me at last," she said. Her voice was gentle and unchanged. "I've wanted you to come here for a long time. I know about Victor's illness. When you go back to him, tell him you've spoken to me. He'll be very happy." "Why don't you come yourself?" I asked. "He needs to see you one last time." "No, I will not leave this place," she said quietly. "And it's better this way. I want him to keep his dream." "His dream? What did she mean?" "I have something important to tell you," I said urgently. "Something that can't wait. You and your community are in very great danger. The men from the valley are going to attack you. If you haven't got any way to save yourselves, let me help you." I paused a moment. "Anna," I started again, "Victor is my dearest friend, but he is dying. He can't help you, but I can. I've always loved you, you know that. And you destroyed not one man, but two, when you came to live on Monte Verita 26 years ago. That doesn't matter anymore. I've found you again, and there are safe places far away where we could live, you and I. I've got enough money to arrange that. We could be together." She laughed, and I wanted to put my arms round her. "Well?" I said. She came to stand right next to me. "I was looking for paradise," she said. "But this is Monte Verita, the mountain of truth, which is very different." Then she threw back her cowl, and I saw her face. I looked at her in horror. I couldn't move or speak. All my feelings froze. One side of her face had been eaten away, damaged terribly by leprosy. The disease was on her forehead, her cheek, her throat, and her skin. The eyes that I had loved were blackened, sunk deep into their sockets. "You see," she said, "this isn't paradise." My head was spinning and my throat was dry. "Leprosy can come to anyone," she continued. "It doesn't matter to me. I'm not sorry I came here. I no longer suffer, so there's no need to suffer for me." Tears were running down my face, and I couldn't speak. "You see," she said, "there are no dreams on Monte Verita. We're not afraid of the valley people. We know what we'll do." Then she took me by the hand and led me to the outer wall. She didn't say goodbye. She put her hand on my shoulder. "Let Victor keep his dream," she said. Then suddenly she was gone. It was night when I returned to the village and walked into the house where Victor lay. He was hardly breathing now. I took his hand, and he opened his eyes. "Did you see her?" he asked. "Yes," I answered. "I'm glad," he said. "Did you give her my letter?" "Yes, she read it," I answered. "She told you not to worry. All is well with her." Victor pressed my hand. "So it's true," he said. "All the dreams I had of Monte Verita. She's happy, and she'll never grow old, never lose her beauty. Tell me, her hair, her eyes, her smile, are they still the same?" "Just the same," I answered. "Anna will always be the most beautiful woman you or I have ever known." Victor smiled, and then he closed his eyes. He was at peace, at last.